Have you ever felt disappointed? Yeah. Many times, somebody says, all right, yeah. Anybody brave enough to share something that they've been disappointed about? I'm glad you said that and not me. But the Villa, yeah. About football, yeah. Anything else you can be disappointed about? The hot air balloons, presumably. Okay, so you went to Telford and they didn't take off. Okay, yeah. So if you've made an effort to go and watch hot air balloons fly and they don't, yeah, that'd be disappointing. Yeah. Anything else you've been disappointed about? Other people's behaviour. Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah. The weather map. Did you have good weather on your holiday? It was decent, actually. It was decent. All right. Yeah. But sometimes it can feel like you've got all the rain and someone else has got all the sunshine. Yeah, you think that's just disappointing. Yeah, you look forward to your holiday all year and then it rains. Yeah, so the weather map. Yeah, what else can you be disappointed about? Getting ready to go to the beach. Yeah, okay. I thought you were going to say going back to school. Disappointing. Yeah, Hannah, you haven't got to go back to school. You finished a long time ago.
Yeah.
Retirement. Okay. Yeah. We can be disappointed about all kinds of things, can't we? And today I want to talk about disappointment. I don't know how many times I've preached, but it must be hundreds. I don't think I've ever preached on the topic of being disappointed before, but kind of when we a while ago, a few months ago, settled on some stories, events of people that met Jesus. My name went by this one, and I hadn't really thought about disappointment in it until I started to read it and prepare for today. And I prepared for today a couple of weeks ago. I was away these last few days, so I prepared a few weeks ago. And then as I've come again to thinking about it again this morning, there's lots more things since then that feel disappointing. There's lots more things that feel disappointing. We're familiar with feeling disappointed. And so I pray that this will kind of speak into that this morning. We're going to look in Mark chapter 5. Verse 21 to 43, Mark chapter 5, verse 21 to 43. It's a well-known kind of miracle, or if you like, a pair of miracles that come together in this story. But there's this theme in the middle of it about being disappointed, okay? And so Mark chapter 5, verse 21 is where we're going to start, and it says this. When Jesus had again crossed over by the boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. And then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and he pleaded earnestly. We don't use that word, but he pleaded kind of like desperately with him. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. And so Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She'd suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet instead of getting better, she got worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him, and so he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion, people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Okay. This, perhaps for some, is a well-known story. It might be for you. You've not heard it before. But there's a couple of miracles in this story. A couple of very separate characters all wrapped up in one event. We've got the lady who was bleeding. We've got a little girl who was evidently very poorly in her bed. But it's hard to look at one story without having the other one in view. There's a lot that I could say about it this morning, and with Pete not speaking, I've got more time, but I'm not gonna go off on a tangent here. I think Andy was the last person that I heard preach on this passage, and he blessed me about a year ago, I think, with picking out some of the points of symmetry and contrast that I'd not really seen before in this. So there are lots of things that we could say, and I could just recycle Andy's message. He's not even here, but I'm not going to do that. But I just really want to talk about one thing, which is about the issue of disappointment and the feelings of disappointment that, if we're honest, we can sometimes have those feelings with God. You know, we can be disappointed with the villa. You can be disappointed in the weather forecast, disappointed about not retiring yet, or whatever it is you're disappointed by. But sometimes our disappointment is with God. Why? God, why? If you have seen something on the news this last couple of days about the big church festival, 40,000 people made the way for a big event that got cancelled after less than one day over a tragedy that happened. Why, God? Why? Why has that happened? We can be disappointed about all kinds of things, and sometimes our disappointment is with God, and we can feel that. And so sometimes I think there's a benefit in us acknowledging, I am disappointed, and I am disappointed with God. Because that allows us then to address that and to face that and to get help and within that disappointment. And what am I supposed to do when I feel disappointed, and not just disappointed, disappointed with God? Now, I want to state here from the get-go that that feeling, that emotion that I believe many of us can have is real. It is real. But at one and the same time, God is not and never is disappointing. God isn't disappointing. He is good. He is glorious. He's wonderful. He's kind and gracious and generous. See, he is not disappointing, but yet we can, because of our emotions and our feelings and our questions and our doubts and our wonderings, feel disappointed with God. And so what is it we're supposed to do when we feel like that? Because God is not less than we think he is. God is more than we think him to be. He is always more and better than we think him to be. So what do I do when I feel disappointed? I think we need to acknowledge that first of all. And see, it might be already this morning, you've got something in your head and you're going, yeah, I am. I'm disappointed with God because this is rubbish. This is not what I wanted. This is not what I thought. And I'm disappointed, and I'm disappointed with God. I think we can find help in acknowledging that. Because then we can see that God is always better than we think him to be. I stood in a big top a few weeks ago, wearing the T-shirt, with 11,000 people, and it was on the Thursday night. We were at New Day, and the Thursday night in New Day, they always have an opportunity where they pray for people to be healed. And the last 2 years that we've gone, those of us that have been there have heard incredible testimony of people coming on the stage and going, "I have been healed of this. I've been healed of this. Last year I was healed of this." This year we saw a lad come out on stage and say that his deafness had been healed. He'd taken out his hearing aids because they were now hurting his ears and he could hear without them. His hearing aids were in his pocket. We heard about a healing of a girl with scoliosis, which is she has a curve in her spine, and about how God radically healed her of that. There were one after the other after the other. I think I saw something this week. There were about 400 reports of having been physically healed by God this year. And as I stood there in the big top, hearing these testimonies of those that have been healed and seeing all these hands that have gone up all around me, I was excited for them. Excited for them that they had been healed, but I was disappointed that I had not been healed. And my disappointment was real. And it was more real than I wanted it to be. I wanted to be super excited that they had been healed. I mean, that was amazing. Just incredible what God had done in their lives. But I wanted to be healed. I was born with a club foot, which means that my foot was twisted around up my leg. I've had more operations than I can remember. They moved all the tendons across my toes. They're all now in different places. They took all the bones out, put them all back in a very different order to rebuild my foot. I had to wear surgical shoes till I was 15, for which I was mercilessly bullied. School shoes are always black, aren't they? Surgical shoes are always brown or red. I don't know why, but they were. I was mercilessly bullied. I now wear regular shoes, but I've got to buy two pairs on account of my feet being three sizes different. I started to get arthritis when I was 20. The doctor said, look, you just need to stop running. I mean, a terrible hardship, I know, but stop running. I now even find that walking a long way day after day has real limitations on me before my foot swells up and I have days of pain. As a child, I asked God to heal me many, many, many times. Many times I asked him over and over, why me? I've had people pray over me for healing. Sometimes they asked if they could and sometimes they didn't, but they prayed that I would be healed. I came to terms mostly with my disability a long time ago. Content that for whatever the reason, this had happened to me and it's okay. But my disability has had an effect on me. It shaped me both in good and bad ways, but it is okay. There are people who are much worse off than me, but God loves me and uses me all the same. Why am I saying that? As I stood in the big top that night, hearing the wonder of people being healed, a bit of me was disappointed. A bit of me was asking God again, why? Why them and why not me? And I very much doubt that I was the only one. And it might be you are at that event and you've got similar thoughts in your mind, being reminded of that again this morning. It might be you were not at that event, but you know what a struggle feels like. Whether that be a health struggle, something that you have lived with for a long time, you're going, God, I just want to be healed of this. It would make my life so much easier if I was better, if I didn't have this or that. And you've prayed and prayed and prayed and it's not been healed. It might be that your struggle is to do with money, that you never seem to have enough money. And it's hard and it's a struggle and it's just difficult. And you have asked God over and over and over to intervene in your life, to make your life just that little bit easier. It might be that you struggle with self-esteem, that you just don't see that you have any value. You feel anxious and worried all the time and you've gone to God, why do I feel like this? Why do I feel, I don't want to feel like this. I don't want to think of myself as worthless as that. Lord, can you heal my mind, set my mind right, that I might see myself as you see me? But those feelings just remain and they persist. And if anything, they get louder and stronger in your mind. It might be about employment, that you've been searching and searching for a job, but a job has not come. It might be that you get a job and you lose it quickly. And you go, Lord, why? Why, God? I just want to work. I just want to be useful. I just want to provide for me and my family. Why? Why have I not got a job? It might be grief. he just can't shake that sadness and that sorrow. A grief over the loss of a loved one or the loss of something else in your life, the loss of an opportunity, the loss of a joy or a relationship or whatever it might be, and you just feel so desperately sad. Just sadness. I'm just sad, Lord. I wake up in the morning, I feel sad. I put my head on the pillow at night, I just want to cry. Lord, will you take that away? Will you lift that cloud, lift that sadness in my heart, but it just remains? You wake up the next day and you feel just the same. Lord, I came before you and I asked you and I believed in you that you can do this, but you haven't done it. And we feel that sense of disappointment and disappointment with God. Maybe it's about a relationship or a lack of one or exam results that are not what you hoped, or it could be anything, couldn't it? I believe all of us, perhaps certainly most of us, can identify with a feeling of struggle like that and something that we've prayed for and gone, God, why? God, can you make this better? I believe that you can. Can you lift this? Can you change this? Can you solve this? Can you intervene in this? And you wake up the next day and it's exactly the same. Why? If you know what that struggle feels like, then you almost certainly know what a disappointment with God can feel like, even if that disappointment is misplaced. For God is not disappointing, but our emotion is real nonetheless. Why them? Why not me? Imagine now, as we come back to our story, imagine being Jairus, watching on as Jesus stopped to find a woman who had already been healed. So Jairus had gone, he'd left his daughter who was dying to go and find Jesus, the miracle worker, in faith and in hope, in conviction. If I find Jesus, he can make her better. And he finds Jesus and he says, look, can you come and lay your hands on us? He's very trusting and very clear with what he wants Jesus to do. And Jesus says, okay, I will come. And they set off and he's thinking, if we can just get there in time, everything will be okay. And then Jesus stops. The woman is already healed because she's reached out and touched him. And we could talk a lot about her disappointment, couldn't we? All the doctors, all the treatment that she would have had over 12 years. But then it was Jesus in the end that made her better. I mean, that's a whole sermon in itself, isn't it? But she's already healed and Jesus stops to look for her. I imagine if I were Jairus, I'd be like, what? Hello, Jesus, come on, come on. I was the one that came and got you. What are you doing? He's like, oh, yeah, I'm pleased for her. Of course I'm pleased for her because somebody's got your power. Of course I'm happy. Of course I'm excited that you've done an amazing thing in her life. But come on, Jesus, this is my daughter. I reached out for you as well. I trusted you. I came for you. This is important, Jesus. I try not to bother you very much, Jesus. I try not to bring you every petition and every ache in my heart, but this one's a big deal for me, Jesus. This is my daughter and she's dying. Yeah, I've witnessed a miracle. Thank you very much. That's amazing. But come on, let's go. Excited for the lady, perhaps a little bit. Frustrated, disappointed that Jesus has stopped and lost sight of the reason why he was making that journey in the first place. That the eyes of Jesus, the attention that Jesus had given to Jairus had now seemingly been taken away from what he most needed, from what he wanted. He'd been to Jesus and got his attention. Jesus was on his way and now Jesus has stopped and he's looking at somebody else. Come on, why her? Come on, come on, this is my daughter. She's lying in her bed and she's dying. You've got to come now. Disappointment with Jesus. Frustration with Jesus. May not be legitimate, but that's how he's going to be feeling, isn't it? Perhaps that's how we are feeling. Come on, Jesus. And then it gets worse. Because the people come from the house, verse 35, don't bother Jesus anymore. Your daughter has died. They had hope in Jesus. He'd gone. Jairus had gone and found Jesus. You are the one that can make her better. You are the one that can put your hand on her and pray, and you are the one that can change the situation around. But now it was too late. It was too late because Jesus had stopped to find the person that he'd already helped. Jairus. Jesus, what were you doing? What about me? What about my daughter? Disappointment. Why her? Why not my daughter? I thought I had your attention, Jesus. I know I don't deserve your attention because I'm a sinful man. So I don't deserve your attention because you're great and you're holy. I don't deserve that attention, but I thought I had it. I thought I got your attention. I thought you were looking at me. I thought you were listening to me. I thought you cared about me. I thought you loved me. I thought you loved my family. Don't bother Jesus anymore. She's died. But Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Believe. Believe. When he made his way to the house, he said that simply she was asleep. Verse 40, they laughed at him. They've gone from hoping in him to laughing at him. They laughed at Jesus. They knew what dead looked like, and this girl was dead. But Jesus goes in, he takes a hold of the girl's hand, and he tells her to get up, and she does. She does. I think the waiting for Jesus to come would have been terrible, wouldn't it? Terrible. An agonizing, painful wait. The sight of the girl dead in her bed would have been crushing. It's too much. It's just too much. The disappointment would have been huge and overwhelming. But Jesus asked them to believe. And that girl got up. We don't know the timing of God, but we do know his timing is perfect. For the miracle in the end somehow ended up being even bigger, didn't it? It ended up being even bigger. Because Jesus took her by the hand, Talitha cum, little girl, get up. Get up. And the girl they believed that was dead sat up in her bed. I've come to terms, mostly, with having a disability. I've come to terms with not being healed, at least not yet. But one day the scriptures tell me, and they tell all of us, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Revelation 21, verse 4. One day, I will be healed. One day, I will have no more pain in my ankle or tears in my eyes when it's uncomfortable to stand. Don't be disappointed. Just believe. Just believe. The feelings of disappointment that we can have about many things, even the villa, are real. The disappointment that we can have with God, it's real because it's what we feel. It's what we feel. But Jesus says to us, believe, believe, believe. For one day God will make everything new. And so this morning, if you are feeling disappointed, hurt, frustrated, questioning why them, why not me, why not them? Those feelings are real and those feelings are normal, and we've pretty much all got them about one thing or another. But Jesus says, come on, come on, believe, believe. One day there'll be no more tears, for the old order will be gone, and we will be with him in the twinkling of an eye. This morning, I've talked about disappointment, and it might be that you are really in the depths of a disappointment now, and I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing a little bit more about the faithfulness of God, because I think we need to be reminded of that. One of the reasons why we sing in church is that we sing and remind truth to one another. And so we're going to sing about the faithfulness of God, because we can remind one another in the midst of those disappointing times that God is faithful. It might not feel it in that moment, but we know that God is faithful. But it might be this morning that you need a little bit more than that. And so if you are struggling with something, then go and talk to somebody about it. Acknowledge that is how you feel and share that with another person. Because they will already know what that feels like. They might have a different circumstance, but they will know what that emotion feels like. And it might be that they have got a testimony they can share with you about how God has met them in that disappointment and how God has answered that disappointment. That might be a blessing and a joy for you in whatever yours is. It might be in the sharing of that and the praying of that God in his kind of supernatural wonder just lifts that. We don't know how many times this lad, I don't remember his name, standing on the stage with his hearing aids in his pocket, within his hand. I have no idea how many times he might have prayed that he wouldn't need hearing aids. But God met him that night. And it might be you've prayed and prayed and prayed, and God's gone, God, just wait. There's a bigger, a better, a brighter miracle for you one day. And it might be that you need to just pray with someone this morning, that you'll be content with what it is. Or maybe you want to pray for the healing of whatever it is. And so take some time kind of this morning just to sit with another and go, this is my disappointment. This is what I'm sitting with right now. Can you share with me? Can you pray with me? Can you talk to me in the midst of that? Let me pray. Father, I thank you for this story. I thank you that we can identify with those feelings of panic. Just something is not right, and perhaps many of us can identify with that feeling of I'm going to go to Jesus. I'm going to pray and ask God to make it better. And maybe we know maybe we've known and we've felt that testimony, that power, that wonder of it being healed or fixed or sorted or resolved in that moment. Or maybe we can identify with Jairus in the middle of this story. We've actually been told it's got worse. And it's not got any better. But Lord, I thank you that Jesus, hearing what they were saying, knowing already what was in their hearts, said to them, just believe. And Father, I thank you that you are kind of just that whisper to us this morning, believe. Just trust me. Think of the lady who'd been bleeding for 12 years, sought lots of help but been forever disappointed, and then reached out for Jesus and everything changed. Lord, I pray that we would reach for you again this morning. And whether we find healing or freedom or liberty in you today in reaching for you, or whether we kind of feel a kind of contentment that we are in this and one day, and we don't know when, that you will lift that and there'll be no more pain and no more tears and no more sorrow and no more suffering. Father, I pray that we would kind of meet you and find your hand in the midst of our disappointment and our struggle and our suffering today. Father, I thank you that no matter what we might feel, that you are not an ever disappointing. You are bigger and greater and more magnificent than we ever imagine you to be. And Lord, I pray that whatever we are going through today, whatever storm we're in the middle of right now, we would trust you. We would trust you. And that your presence and your peace would lift that disappointment and change it to contentment or healing in whatever we're facing today, Lord. Amen.